Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you and we love you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. Help us to see all through your light, through your mind, to everything that you see it, is how we should see it as children of God. Not see it how we think that it is. Our culture dictates it to us. Our culture in the earthly, but the biblical culture. Everything that the Spirit of God speaks to us through your word. That should be our lives. And see everything according to the word and the Bible. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our subject for today, and what happened with Job, our subject would be, God is not the cause of misfortunes. Before continuing there where we left it off last time, I think we finished chapter 1, so we're going to enter chapter 2 now. I should say that everything has to do with the theological vision that you have of God. God bless those brothers in Christ, but it's not my point to go against those brothers in Christ and churches. Person, my purpose is to bring clarity, but many of these people have an idea that God is the cause of all of this. So we'll see it there in the Bible. Job 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. If you remember, chapter 1, verse 6, it says the same thing. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came along them. Actually, chapter 1, we can see how Satan came against his children. Remember the children of Job. But now he's going to come against him, against his person. Chapter 2, that's what we're going to see. But God is not a cause of all of this. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Notice, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth. We already saw how in chapter 1 that Job always said in chapter 1 verse 5, part of the verse says, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. I was telling you that Job was worried and was fearful. I'm going to remind you again in Job 3:26 that although this is what Erica, this is our fourth session? I think this is our fourth session, I don't remember. A fifth session, wow, okay. Job 3:25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Again, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Again, I am not at ease, or I do not have peace. People don't see things in their life because they are not at peace, therefore there is no faith working in them. Now we return to chapter 2. Now I'm going to see something again in chapter 2. That from going to and fro on the earth. So what was it? It was the fear of Job. Now, I'm going to remind you something, or better said, tell you something in this area. Job started walking in fear due to his children. He was worried. Perhaps there are people listening to me who have children already in an age where they're legally adults. I believe in Mexico is the same. I don't remember. In certain countries, at 18, they are adults or of age. Not saying that they're mature. I mean, you have seen that. But they are considered adults. Sometimes those children take decisions for whatever reason. The issue is, if you're in that category of fathers and walk in fear and worry, we can learn something that worry and fear is not the solution. Worry and fear and condemnation is not the solution. everything that I'm speaking, pay very close attention to it. It has to do with what I'm speaking on here. Have you noticed people who always try to blame others for their problems? I believe in giving mercy to people and understand them and being patient. But where I struggle to give mercy is when adults start getting dramatic. Amen. Something that I detest is drama. I'm going to present a bit of drama so you can understand, or perhaps you don't understand. But speaking on matrimonies, drama between matrimonies. Stupidity is like, husband gets mad for something, and oh, I'm going to leave the house now, and this, and that, and, oh, at least you don't need me anymore, and things like that. Or the wife, you see? Her husband forgot that it was their anniversary or birthday, and a couple of days later, the mother of the husband had a birthday, and then they said something in social media, so you say, oh, well, you do put things for your mom, but not for me. Those are dramas. My brothers and sisters, many of us need to stop sucking our big thumb and grow up. Grow up. Well, there are also dramas between children. I learned some things of children who are mad with their parents because you'd leave me alone to go to church. Perhaps those children, I don't know if their wife perhaps went to a strip club or to a brothel or with another man, they wouldn't have worried. But going to church, and many parents are in condemnation for it. Many parents say, if I should have done this or I should have done this. Yeah, it's true. But our children also need to arrive to a moment where they have discernment what is right and what is wrong. Which is why when we correct them, some get mad or get offended. Or think that they're in the right because their conscience is what rebukes them. So, as parents, there is parts that we have to do correctly and hear from God. But there are things that children also have to do as well. We live in a society where we try to victimize the whole world. We try to victimize women. We try to victimize men or feminize them. Or victimize and say that we're of a certain ethnic group, and which is why we can't advance. That's all trash. Don't fall in any of that. Remember what I said before recording? That's how it is. God is your God. There is no man, there is no woman, ethnic group. If you're in Christ, you are one with Christ. And period. Giving us arms here and the word to go on to advance. Now notice what he said on going on the earth. Let's go to 1 Peter. Look at what Satan is doing up to this day. Not just in the time of Job. And the Apostle Paul revealed it to us. In 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking. Look like this. Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Walking around. Instead from going to and fro. Going around the earth. Going around. Seeking whom he may destroy. Seeking. If he's seeking, it means that he can't devour just whoever. Why did it come against Job? Because Job gave him place. Amen. Can you see it? That's a very important point to understand. Job gave him a place. Verse 3. Job 2:3. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast holds fast his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Verse 3 reveals to us that Satan incited God. And many brothers in Christ, the grand majority, still God bless them. That's how they preach. That be it God caused it or God permitted it. Now 1 verse 7 says the same thing. Or, my apologies, yes. In verse 7, the Lord said, from where do you come? So Satan said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And then 8 said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Remember when I said, when we mentioned that? I think I gave it to you guys, right? In multimedia, we saw it last time. In the first few sessions, Young's literal translation. Young's was a Jewish, was a Jewish scholar. And Jehovah said unto the adversary, has thou set my heart against servant? Set thy heart against my servant Job. When people read this, have you not considered? They read it as God is inviting Satan to attack Job. It's as if you as a father said, there's a man who just got out of the jail. And the government told him that he has to register as a sex offender because you know that he's been in jail for abusing a child. And then your daughter's there, 10, 11 years old, playing in the patio saying, have you not considered my daughter? Would you do that? Would you do that? No. So many brothers in Christ interpret it that that's how God was inviting Satan to destroy him. That's a terrible interpretation of it. There are millions and millions. And I'll share a story that has to do with this. A while ago, a couple years ago, I was in a church, a big church. You know, maybe 2,000 people. And I know what that pastor believes. He's one of those that believes that tests, trials, and tribulations strengthens you, and God sometimes heals you, but also permits things that to happen to you because he wants to test your faith and things like that. And that's how he thinks and believes. But, you know, when he invited me, you know, I wasn't going to go and preach on Job. So when I finished my preaching, I only spoke on faith and healing. I'd say I didn't enter into other subject. I spoke a bit on praying in tongues because they believe in tongues and the benefits of it. But he told me, Brother Hughes, how is it that some people can see what you teach in your ministry? So they had some even bigger screens because they had a big church. And I said the website, at that time we didn't have the app just yet. But the website we did. And the YouTube channel is not how it is now. How it is now is much more updated. But we had some videos on YouTube. And we didn't give it too much propaganda. But I gave the webpage and they put it up on the screen. And some people wrote it down and followed it. Guess what happened? Over time, over the months, various people from there called me and they said, Brother Hughes, when are you coming back? Why don't you teach on that God doesn't put evil on us? And one of them, another one of them told me, a servant from there, I don't know if he was a leader, but he was a servant from there. He said, I'll talk with my pastor to tell you that you should come and teach us this. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, why do you teach it there in your church? Exactly, in my church where I pastor, I'm the pastor. And I just teach what God tells me, but I'm going to go to another church because your pastor doesn't believe that way. And they told me, you have to do what the Holy Spirit tells you. It's always that. You see, very quickly, it's better to obey and like this. It's better to obey God than man. Yeah, it's true. But you have to know how to interpret the context of it. That's what I told him. You think the Holy Spirit doesn't know what your pastor believes? Unless your pastor started listening to me, and he told me, Brother Hughes, come and explain some things on Job. Or on Paul. but he doesn't believe that way. If he told me, then yeah, I could go and interpret that it's the Holy Spirit telling me to go. But to go against and cause problems just because with my doctrine that I'm correct and that your pastor's wrong, I would be wrong with that attitude in my heart. If you want to continue learning, because the pastor said so that some of you can follow you there and we'll see what you spoke, he gave them the authority, right? But just to go there and preach, no. Many churches preach that God is teaching you through tests, and out of those tests and trials, something good will come out of it. And there is a truth in that, but it's not the whole truth. I'll explain it to you. No, you don't want me to explain it? Okay, then I'll continue. You want me to explain it to you? There is a half-truth, but it's not the whole truth. The first one you have to understand before explaining what I'm going to explain is this. God is not the cause of it. God is not the cause of problems and tribulations. The first cause is Satan. The second cause, apart from Satan, is us who take bad decisions, who do not listen from God. We walk in the flesh, take our own decisions, we do whatever we want to do, and Satan takes advantage of that. But who's the cause of it? Satan, and then us. Bad decisions, the devil will take advantage. And the third cause of problems and tribulations is the world. The world will come against us for preaching the word, for preaching the gospel, for saying certain things that we say. They will censor us. They will try to silence us, etc. Or the devil will put things in the heart of the people of the world, of many governments, as we're seeing now, to come with problems and cause more problems with the God than the devil will already cause in us. Is that understood? But God is not the author of suffering and problems. But there's a truth that religion will tell you, but the way that they teach it is that God caused it. There's a truth, but there's a condition as well. Can't avoid it. I'll explain it to you. While you live on this planet Earth, while you and I live on this planet Earth, and we want to live a long life, and God will give us a long life, I believe in all that. But guess what? Suffering is unavoidable. And we don't have to suffer anything. Again, I'll show it in the Bible. While we live on this planet Earth, suffering in many areas is inevitable. We can't avoid it, be it even if we develop the ability to hear from God so well. Remember that I taught you, what's the four causes of suffering? Or the sources of suffering. Sources of suffering. Number one, Satan. Number two, bad decisions. Number three, the world. Number two is what you and I can control the most. Remember what I told you on Thursday as well? But yeah, it's true. Many of us can commit errors. Many of us can commit mistakes. But if we learn to hear from God, we'll minimize, I'll give you another word, minimize the amount of us making mistakes and giving place to the devil if we learn to listen from God. Understand me? So the second, we can control it and manage it. Number two, the first one, and the third, we can't. Because it's part of the persecution and sometimes part of tribulation. While we live on this planet Earth, then suffering will come. I'll give you a clear example. How many of you have had families, members of families, perhaps children, fathers, brothers, sisters, that are stubborn, prideful, they've gone cold and given place to the devil, and something happens? Something happens to them, an accident, a problem, even they lose their life, and you suffer. We suffer, right? I suffered with the death of my brother. It hurt me. Not that we live in suffering, not that I suffered it eternally. We don't walk by suffering, we walk by faith. But suffering comes. That's what I'm referring to. Do you understand that? And things happen. Oh man, there's so many things that I have to say. Be patient with me. Patient with me. That's how I should have spoken on Thursday, huh? On Thursday, I let go. But man, we had a good laugh, didn't we? But I myself going out, I said, I could have spoken better. But we had a good time. Because there's a lot of things that I want to speak on. Now, just to prove what I'm trying to say on suffering. So you don't misunderstand, like, what is it? Is it that God gives the tribulations or he doesn't? And I'll explain the other part. What's the other part? In a certain way, it's true that trials and tribulations, it's true that there can be something good from it, but I'll explain it. The first condition in understanding that is this: God is not to blame. But I'll explain the complete truth, not half truths that has been spoken for many years. Romans 8. Again, while you live on this planet Earth, suffering is inevitable. I'll continue speaking on this with greater detail. About an hour or more or about two sessions explaining this. How many of you understood what I spoke before recording? What I'm trying to say is, with everything that we see, we have to see with revelation from the Word. Not saying that we don't pray for our leaders. Good or bad, we have to pray for them. The Bible speaks on it. And I'm still believing on the best for this nation, as I mentioned right now. That things will not get worse, do you understand? And things can do something if we pray. But don't fall in everything. Someone say amen. It's right there. Remember that I spoke on suffering? There are things that it hurts us. That it hurts me seeing. We can't avoid it. But remember, don't live in it. And don't use it as an excuse. Romans 8. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? You notice? Tribulation or distress or persecution? Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, you see? Yeah, I know. In our area, we are more than conquerors. We're not going to permit suffering. Hold on, read the whole context, please. How does 37 say? Notice how it says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yet, in all these things, what is all these things? Trials, tribulations, distress, persecution, famine. If you believe or think that you'll live a long life, it's fine. But remember, have in mind that suffering is also inevitable. It could be perhaps simple things, like for me, when Tito died, I suffered for a couple weeks, my cat. When I said, Tito, don't send me an email saying, oh, did your son die? Well, yeah, he was my son, he was my cat, but I have other twos there now. But, man, it hurt me. Now, I didn't just stay there. You never said, pray for a pastor, he's in depression because Tito died. No, I live by faith, but it hurt me. But again, there are things in family members that it hurts us. Doesn't mean that you're not by faith. Amen. Doesn't mean you won't by faith or you're not a man or a woman of faith. Are you understanding it? But you don't live in that. You don't walk by it. You walk by faith. And you control your feelings. Someone say amen. Now the same verse, Romans 8:35, New Living Translation. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have, does it mean that he no longer loves us? If it is, we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Well, glory to God. Many of us will not go through hunger or destitute. But notice how it says troubles or calamity or persecutions. Now things happen, perhaps at the level of the country or in our family or in our church, and we suffer, and it hurts us, and it hurts us in our hearts. But we don't walk by it. We don't persist in it. Someone say amen. Now, the answer is here in Romans, where I said that, of course, there are trials, tribulations. Something good can come out of it. But there's two little details here that you need to understand. Two. One, God is not the cause of it. Second, if with a catch, if you persist in faith. What's the first one? You have to understand that God is not the cause. Second is, if you persist in faith. Speaking so we can understand Job. Right now, go there, please. Romans chapter 5. I didn't want to give too many steps there, or too many points on that. Persisting in faith includes understanding that God loves you unconditionally. I'll show you in the Bible. Let's start reading in Romans 5. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, having been justified by faith, again, having been justified by faith as intermediate to receive that justification is faith. We were justified by Christ, but here it's talking about how we receive that justification. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. In which, notice how I said that you have to understand having a revelation of God includes grace there. By faith we enter into this grace in which we stand. Grace we stand through the faith of Jesus in you. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Again, we'll go slowly here so that the Holy Spirit can show you. But we also glory in tribulations. Notice how it says that we give glory by tribulations, that due to the tribulations. No, we're not crazy. But it says we also give glory in tribulations. Now, knowing that, oh glory to God, here's this point. Knowing that, you know what the issue is? That many brothers in Christ do not know. They don't know. God bless them. Actually, part of my suffering over the years has been this, that many Christians don't understand. Because if you think that God put that test on you, there's doubt in your heart, for starters. If it is that you end up asking for prayer, well, you're going to say, well, I'm going to pray to see what happens. Well, there's doubt there. There's no faith. There's no confidence. The devil takes better advantage of you. Again, verse 3, where it says, knowing that, It's very important. You need to know. Again, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You see the word there, tribulation. The word tribulation here in this context could be translated the pressure. When there's pressure. There's pressure. Knowing that pressure produces perseverance or patience. How can perseverance and patience. God bless many of my brothers in Christ, the churches. But I've been in churches where the pastors say like this: do not ask God. God asks God for patience, because He will send you tests. Do not ask God for patience, because He will send you tests. And where do they grab it from here? From the next point that's here. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. As that perseverance produces character. So my beloved kind brothers and sisters in Christ, and many churches, God bless them. They interpret the scriptures this way, and they produce a bountiful heart. As do not ask for God for perseverance, because He will send you tests. So if you read it in its context from verse 1, you don't see God there. See that? You see that there's any God there? It never mentions God. There are sayings that have been perpetuated over the years. It's what we call a cliche. Phrases or repetitive words that we don't even know what we're saying anymore. We just repeat them. There's no faith or understanding. This is why I said, God bless him. It's part of what for years, has hurt me in my heart. Because there are many Christians who are in trouble, because they say, God is testing me. When I was an associate pastor with Brother Nunez, who is now in heaven, a good man, a good businessman, and a good man of God. I went to pray for someone. He said, can you go pray for this person? I went to go pray for a brother in Christ that we knew. When he was there, he was very sick. He was groaning. I said, brother, it's Brother Hughes. I'm here to pray for you. And I said, if you believe, God will lift you from this bed. And he turned and looked at me, and he said, opened one eye, and he said, Brother Hughes, God is testing me. I'm like Job. Well, I'm worse than Job, because God is already calling me to His presence. No, Brother Hughes, that's not how... No, brother, that's not how it is. Yes, God is calling me to His presence. No, brother, God can lift you up. By His stripes, you are healed. God is not sending you these tests. He was dying, but religion was so strong that he got strength, and he opened both hands, and he grabbed me, and he said, God is calling me to His presence. I said, oh my God, he woke up. The anger woke him up. Glory to God. So what happened? Well, he went to his presence. He went to his presence. And I don't say it making fun of him. It's just many cases. Remember how he spoke about another brother in Christ in a wheelchair or with a walker. And I know. I wasn't very wise with this. I was already fired up with healing and faith, and I said, brother, wait, get up, I'll pray for you. And with his walker, he started doing this. He said, get away from me. And with two big children, one grabbed me from the arm and the other one like this, and he said, brother, who's best if you go? Almost lifted me up. Opened the door, and they said, they didn't throw me out like in the movies, but you know, almost. He said, you know what, it's best if you go. Because My dad believes this way, and that's how we believe as well. And you're with weird doctrines. And I wanted to pray, but a dude was trying to move me out with his cane. Now continue reading. We'll read again in verse 3. Knowing that, are you understanding this now? Knowing that, tribulation or pressure produces perseverance. Notice how when tribulation comes, if you walk in faith, you walk by faith, you maintain yourself, it will produce firmness. You will be a man or a woman of God who is firm with determination in the things of God. That you know that God loves you and is with you. Which is why I just spoke right now. We need to let go of drama in our homes. And be firm in what we... Hallelujah. And then, verse 4? And that perseverance... patience produces. Now that word is translated test, but it means character or experience. Oh, that's very different. Now we can understand it now. The word patience, let's leave it as perseverance then. Let's read it as perseverance produces experience. And it means character. Perseverance produces character. Yep. New King James. It's right there, you can see it right there, character. Character. The H there is silent, so it's character, right there. Perseverance, because that's how it's translated from the Greek. Perseverance produces character. Hallelujah. When you persevere the things of God, you persevere. This problem will not tip me over. But notice, it will not tip me over. Notice. You notice how you're saying, well, oh, it's because God is testing me. You see how different the attitude is? Well, God is sending me this test. I'm like Job. From the other way, there's faith, assurance. There's trust. There's confidence. This will not tip me over. No, in the name of Jesus, I am going to go forward by the grace of God. Someone say amen. I'm more than a conqueror. So what it'll create? It'll create in you a character. Hallelujah. A character of faith. Determination. Again, verse 4. And perseverance produces, what did I say? Character or experience. And character, experience produces hope. That word hope can also be translated as we saw, which also means confidence. Hallelujah. And that confidence and that hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God, again, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. That's true. Trials and tribulations will produce something good. It's true. If and always you're having a revelation that you know that God is not the issue of the problem, the root of the problem. Two, one, God is not the cause of the problem. Two, understanding. Walking by faith, which has to do with the love and the grace of God. Separate them. loving grace or grace and faith. And it produce good things, but you have to understand it's not God. That you have to walk by faith. If not, on the contrary, trials and tribulations will destroy you. Hear what I said? If not, trials and tribulations will destroy you. The devil will use them to destroy you and kill you. Get you cold. To get you angry against God. Think that God is the root of your problems. You want to know how you can measure your trust in God? Reality? Another way of seeing it. How are you spiritually? Very simple. Going through problems, either you cause them or the devil or whatever. But when you go through problems, here it comes. You run towards God or you go away from God. Right there. See the big difference. That's the difference between literally night and day. White and black. Heaven and hell. How do you react? Oh, you'll know. That's how you'll know what was in you. This is not criticism. This is not condemnation. I'm telling you how. Measure. How you were. If you were to learn that, oh, Brother Hughes, got discouraged and is in depression and left everything and he doesn't want to know anything about the things of God or church or anything. There you can see what was truly in my heart then. The rest was just a fallacy. Not a single one of us can go God just suddenly. There was already enough seed in their heart. Someone say amen. Enough seed in their heart. Now, here comes a good thing. You persist. If you persist, happen. That tribulation, privacy, will persevere, will produce perseverance. That perseverance will produce a character and experience. You know when the hope will come? When you say glory to God? Got out of one, I'll get out the other. Hallelujah. God help me in one situation, He'll help me in the other. Amen. I came out victorious from one situation, I'll come out victorious in the other. Glory to God. Amen. If you put in your heart and you start, I'll give you some advice. Stop saying so many cliches and start saying things that you understand. Part of your confession is this. Remember what I spoke on Thursday? I'll continue on Tuesday. I'll continue on Tuesday. I'll be more calm. I won't be like on last Thursday. But start saying this. Start speaking by faith. Start saying, by the grace of God, I will not have any one of those degenerative illnesses, cancer, anything of those sorts. By the grace of God, I will live a long life. By the grace of God, I'll do it with understanding. What does grace mean? Grace means an ability of God, a divine ability from capacity. Notice how by it's the grace of God. By the grace of God, I will not be sick. You learn that a brother in Christ or someone passes away. I'm not criticizing anyone who's sick or that passed away. That's not my point. My point is, when you learn of something, quickly fear wants to come and doubt. And you say, by the grace of God, I will not go through that. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, I will not go through that situation. Or, by the favor of God, although many times, I doubt in saying that way because we use those cliches so much in our culture, like words like blessings. But the world uses it as well. It's like, oh, blessings. They always try to get a blessed day and things like that. It's just cliches. I don't use them personally. I guard my words. I do the best that I can. I want to see results in my life, not just throw words freely in the world. And our culture is that way, where you're speaking with something from your family. And you say, well, look at that. You're going somewhere. And I hope something good happens. They say, oh, with the favor of God. And so we use expressions so many times, or cliches, that they lose their sense. There's no faith. There's no trust. It's more so just trust in trying to please the person in saying the correct thing in front of the person, instead of just saying the adequate words in the spiritual world with understanding. Do I make myself understood or not? Speak to whoever you want, but I want results. I see results in my life. When you say it by faith, with understanding, by the grace of God. Now, understanding grace, of course. I didn't say debauchery. I said grace. By the grace of God, you're speaking. But what God did, what God paid for, what the Lord Jesus paid for, what Jesus represents. You notice how it's what I did, what I paid for, what I represent? Never go to God. You have a problem and try to go before God like many Christians. God bless them. But Lord, get this problem out of me. You see, look, I always arrive early at church. I always give. I always tithe. I pray in tongues. No, don't go in your own merits. You don't want God to tell you, yeah, not all the time you arrived late to church. Sometimes you didn't pray. Don't go towards God like that. But if you go and you say, Father, please, by what Jesus did, by what Jesus is, amen. You removed yourself from the equation. Hallelujah. Thank you. When you understand favor and grace, they're not changeable. I'm almost starting to close now. This is so good. So Job, verse 2, chapter 2, just to add one more thing here. Verse 3, you still hold fast towards his integrity, the last part of verse 3, although you incited me against him. So again, from the top, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him, to destroy him without cause. As you say, God said, you incited me, but I wasn't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I will not permit it either. Verse 4. So God did not permit it as such. The thing is, Job gave authority to the devil when operating in fear. You understand this language now? Very important. If you don't understand the legal language, when we're in worry, lack of forgiveness, and anger and hate, promoting things, like I just told you before starting the recording, even at this level in the country, at this place, we give so much authority and place to the devil. We give him permission. That's another word. Let's use the word permission. I think we understand it that way. A couple Sundays back, we finished having lunch. Anthony went to eat with the cattle. Anthony, after finished eating, went to go feed the cattle. He showered and he said, Dad, is it fine with you if I go to church? Because Alan and I have to work on some things on the new programs. And I said, yes. Go. You know what I told? You know what I gave him? Permission or authority. Right now we saw Satan, although he has the authority here in the earth, he's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4. Satan, the god with the lowercase g, but the god of this world, whom the minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, let the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So homie, there, 2 Corinthians 4:4, please, on the screen. So what happens? Satan, to this day, still has the authority. Remember something from the kingdom. Who gave the authority to Satan? Adam. Man. Adam. The man, representing man. The man in Adam. To this day, who gives authority to Satan then? Human being, the man. God is not the cause of hurricanes. Man, God is not the cause of all the disgraces that happen. But man is the one. Sin. Which is why I said it's so dangerous in any area, in many areas. It's so dangerous when governments are just promoting division. And bringing things up from the past. They grab the good things, not the bad. It's the same with your brother in Christ. Don't grab the bad or the issue that you had. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. So God is not the cause of this sin. Sin of man is it gives authority and disgrace happens, but it's not God. You think God is over here putting these things? Glory to God. I'm about to finish. I'm passing too much time. I want you to go to chapter 7. Job 2:7. We'll continue reading this. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. You know that word there? In English, let's see how it is in English, but you see what I'm referring to. Job 2:7. Painful boils. That word boils. Sore boils. There we go. That word boils in let's see if I pronounce it correctly. It's a medical term. Yes, I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's kind of like a pimple, like a lesion, the epidermis. Let's again, it could be some of the images I'm going to put are a bit graphic, but I want you to see what happened to Job. And God is not putting these things on Job. Let's see if you guys can put it. I need them to hurry up. Something like that. Something like that. So that's what Job had in everything. And something like that. There's an image of there you go. But that's worse. That's kind. That's Job. That's very kind. I mean, he was very ugly in that moment. So Job suffered so much that he couldn't be standing because notice how it says there. Verse 7, from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. So he couldn't be lying down because he had it all over. He couldn't be standing because his feet hurt. I believe in English, it's a pustule, yeah. Yeah, I'm pronouncing it correctly, yes, a pustule. And from there, from pus. And it was painful and he smelled bad, some historians believe. It was extreme. Do you think God is putting that on his creation? But all of this happens because of the suffering. It's part of the suffering. On Wednesday, we were working all day and unfortunately, one of our mares aborted. Still missing about a month, and we were working with her, a very beautiful young mare. And a couple hours later throughout the day, she passed, and it hurt us. We cried, but it wasn't God. It's just due to the fall of man, the creation groans. Remember in Romans 8, creation groans, where even the animals suffer. Oh man, it hurt. part of suffering, as I said. We're going to see things that we don't like. Hallelujah. How many of you received something there? Now, for a moment, we're about to finish. Let's receive our tithes and offerings. 2 Corinthians 9. Give me just about 5 minutes. 2 Corinthians 9. And we saw this last time. Very good point. If you believe God, we've seen more things on this study series. But again, trusting in God, if you believe in God, but he says in verse 2 Corinthians 9:10, for he who gives seed to the sower, seed to the sower. I'll just tell you this. One of the videos of the series, God is My Source, I believe it's session 3 or session 13. It's how to use faith more effectively. I think more than 50 million people have seen it. Yes, more about 50 million people. Can you imagine if every single one had given $1 or $2, $5, $200,000 is what we could have gotten. It's enough, right? Many people see it, they like it, they like the application, but they don't give. And we can't obligate anyone to give. But I always invite those who watch us for the first time or have time watching us. I always say, if someone extracts information, have you heard when I say that? If someone extracts information, spiritual information constantly from Word of Faith Ministries, it would be good that you pray and consider sowing and helping us. Because I don't ask the money for myself. I'm not robbing money from anyone. I'm telling you, give me money, send me money. I'm just saying that it's good. The Bible speaks here. Notice verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed. Verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Amen. Well, last time I gave a small broadcast from my phone through Facebook. Or my profile, which is Ignacio Nubius. In 2 days, I believe it had about 2,000 people. But some of them tell me, oh, well, you have this, you live comfortably, you have cattle and all this, why don't you give? Well, I do give. I give a lot. I give more than 10%. That's how it is. They see it as, they don't know what I have and what I don't have. Amen. And how much I truly have. But it's because I give from what I get, and I give more than 10%. And I'm not going to ask anyone to not do anything willingly. If I tell you, don't get discouraged, it's because I don't get discouraged. And yeah, things happen. We get hurt, family members suffer, perhaps with their children. It's not my case, glory to God, but perhaps some go through issues with their children and it hurts them. That doesn't mean that you're not in faith. Just don't live in it. Continue giving good testimony to your children, to your family, and believe me, sooner or later you will see the goodness of God in your life and you will be desirable seed for them. Amen. So the same thing happened to us in another video that I did there in our horse stables. Erica grabbed it, edited it, and put it on YouTube. And in a couple of days, it has more than 15 million views, to where even one of my cats, El Güero, that's how I name him. He's a very fine-looking cat, blue eyes, where if the sun hits him, you can't see. It's like those horses where if they have blue eyes, they can't really see. He can't see. It's because he's a very fine cat. It was just a simple prayer. And I had a hay bale as a pulpit. But a couple people saw it. And it was good. And I give, but I don't give out of obligation. How many of you understand? I don't give out of obligation. I love God and I'm joyful. Glory to God. But it's good at the same time. A couple of them say, you should give because you have. They don't start thinking, why do I have? If I have, it's because God has been good. God has been good. It's part of the seed. It's part of the harvest. So we could also receive from God material things. Don't put your sights on material things. Put your sights on God. If you have something, use the things from God to advance the kingdom and be able to help other people. I told my son, you know what, mijo? In more time we there in our farm, we could make it bigger and remove all those old corrals and create some new ones, and we'll make some nice chicken coops. It has to be from God, because I, in the natural, would not do that. And I told him, we're going to buy about 500 or 1,000 chickens, and we're going to have some chickens exclusively where every 2 weeks or so give eggs at church, or to the members of our church. I know some will say, oh, people who come every other new moon, oh, I'm a member of the church. No, I'm talking about the people who are faithful, those who serve. There are some, I don't know if I'll give you, but... I'm just kidding. From that side over there. Give them eggs because, man, apart from suffering, they're expensive now, huh? Man, glory to God. And what a blessing. And I told my son, hey, you know what? Later we'll buy some more cattle and grab about two for around Christmas, kill them and give meat to the people so that they could have for their Christmas. Amen. Thank you for those who are happy. It has to be God. I mean, that's why we use our finances and our material things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to start coming more for the eggs, but, you know, we need to have the right heart. Glory to God. Stand on your feet.
Advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Lord, for.
Thank you, Lord.
To whom he believes, everything is possible, especially when we use these resources to keep growing the kingdom. Thank you for that privilege. You are our helper. Continuing to help us with our goals. Amen. Thank you for each person, for each family, for each listener. Help us and give us it keeps in love, but also the truth. Our countries, governors, presidents, and kings, give them wisdom to guide their country, and nothing comes family or in countries. Help the governed Lord. Help us lift those countries where we were born, where we live, where we have families. Help the body of Christ. Those countries, manifest yourself in them, charity in their body. We give thanks because you are always looking for them. Thank you, Lord, and if someone isn't listening to you, we give authority to the Lord of heaven, and some of them don't understand this. Are saying, who are we to give authority to God? But lifting a prayer is giving you authority to come into those lives. Thank you for your mercy. We speak greater mercy. Help us, Lord. Give thanks to Jesus. For our Lord Jesus Christ, for the finished work of God, we tell the Lord, devil, you are a liar, and we call you on your bluff and your doctrine and those doctrines that come against governments, cultures, and way of thinking, and we take authority. And we say to you, thank you for you manifest yourself in the lives and the hearts of the men. Each person who is on the road, in their homes, in other cities, some of them who have grown apart from you, thank you for your coming to them and speaking to their hearts. Thank you for your reminding them of your grace and the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When they go to sleep, you come to them in dreams. That is biblical, Lord, that they hear your voice and not the voice of the stranger. I give you all glory and honor and all praise. With the authority of Jesus, I have spoken this, I have prayed this. And thank you that you always, always listen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website mpfccc.org.